You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. Looking ahead to the action coming up on Friday the 16th of February, Alex Dunn, Gareth Topham and Ollie Pimlott will be your team in the Racing Radio studio from 10 past 1. They'll be looking at the afternoon action at Sandown, Lingfield and Fakenham before we have the usual Friday night all-weather fair from Newcastle and Dundalk. Make sure you join them for selections, previews and the commentaries on the races themselves, of course. But for now, on the podcast, to have a look at some of Friday's action and to have a look ahead of the big races on Saturday as well. My name's John Gibby, joined in the studio by Sean Quinn. Hello, Sean, how are you?
Hello, John, I'm very well. I think this is a first podcast, you and I.
It is indeed. You know, I thought I'd gotten through everyone.
Right.
And I had John Babb for the first time a couple of days ago.
Right.
And I've got you for the first time.
So am I the final notch on the bed, so to speak?
I think you are.
Yeah.
You say so to speak. There's a physical bedpost which is getting notched when I get in.
Okay.
Good to have you with us.
Yeah, good to be here.
Yes. And we're going to start by having a look at some of Friday's racing. Sandown have got a very good card on, you'd have to say, and you've picked out two bets.
Yeah, we're looking at the 225 and the 405. The 225 is a good race, a grade two for mares only. It's a novice's hurdle, over 2.5 miles. Looks a very, very open race. These mares, of course, all seeking that invaluable bit of black type before they head to the paddocks further down the line. And I think you could give a chance to a huge number of these horses. The one that interests me most, though, is the Anthony Honeyball mare, Midnight Tune, who was on something of a roll in December, winning at Wincanton and Kempton.
That'd be impressive.
It would be impressive. Then blotted her copybook last time out at Ascot 27 days ago in a race won by Le Bagarois. But Midnight Tune, she's a mare who likes to go forward, but she just went far too fast last time out. Aidan Coleman, top jockey, for me, just got it wrong and went too quick on her. And she was a very, very tired horse with a long way to go. And that accentuated the distance which she was beaten in the end, 102 lengths. This is far easier, back in against novices. And I think Midnight Tune will be seen to far better effect here. The horse that I thought rated the main dangers, well, Melangerie is an improving horse of Nicky Henderson's, but this is definitely her toughest test to date. All Currencies is a mare of Gary Moore's, who won well at Newbury last time out, looks to still be open to a bit more improvement. And Redemption Song is a horse who I thought could run quite well at a price. She's got a bit to find at the weights with some of these, but I think she'll be suited by conditions, and I think she rates a little bit better than what she showed at Warwick last time out. Interesting that she wears the cheap pieces for the first time, but hopefully Midnight Tune can get back to her best, and if she were to get back to her best, she'd be quite tough to beat.
You mentioned the race at Ascot last time with the Bajara, who I was very impressed with, and it was sort of a case of her first and the rest nowhere in behind, really.
Yeah, very much so. Le Bagarois won by 16 lengths, and as I say, Midnight Tune, she should have been second, according to the betting anyway. She was sent off the second favourite, but she just went very, very hard early doors. The ground was quite testing, and she'd nothing left to give from about 6 furlongs out, and I think she can be easily forgiven that run.
Midnight Tune, then, the selection for Sean in the 225 at Sandown, that grade two mares novices hurdle. And what about the selection in the 405?
Yeah, this is a good staying chase. Orbison at the top of the weights is interesting. He bounced back to something like his best last time out at Ludlow, and this mark of 135 is very, very workable for Orbison. So I think he's a player for Nick Williams and Lizzie Kelly. Alu Momo is a horse who was disappointing when last seen on Boxing Day at Weatherby in their big chase that day. I think it's the Castleford chase. He pulled up behind Get On the Jaeger, but prior to that had been in good form. He's a horse who stays particularly well. and is often a very, very sound jumper. So I think Alu Momo can bounce back to form here. He's been off for 52 days, freshened up since then. He's an interesting one. Others to consider, well, Jonjo O'Neill's got Livick, who is an improving novice. He's been off for 10 weeks. He might have a bit more to offer. And Bally Longford needs to put that last run at Cheltenham behind him when he pulled up in that race won by Froden in late January. But towards the end of last year, he was in decent form himself. And this mark of 1-3-1 is workable based on what he's shown over the past two or three seasons. But Alu Momo is well worth forgiving that poor run at Wetherby last time out. I like the fact he's been given plenty of time to get over it, 52 days. And I do think this mark of 129 is definitely fair for him.
Alu Momo, then, the selection for Sean in that 4.05 at Sandown. So those are your best bets for Sandown on Friday. Let's turn our attention to Saturday now. It's a decent weekend of action we've got in store, including Grade 1 action at Ascot in the 3.35 with the Ascot Chase. Time of recording, top-notch heads the betting for this one at 2-1. Waiting patiently, unbeaten over fences, of course, 5-2. 3-1 then for Coney Island. Q Card, a two-time winner of the race, only 9-1, the same price as Frodon. And then Sperrydeck, 20-1. Traffic for the Weed, 40-1, the ones at bigger prices. I was saying to you just before we started recording, Sean, it feels like the last few years at the Ascot Chase, there's been the one they all had to beat.
Yep.
This year it's a little bit more open.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. This year it looks a very, very exciting race. You know, you're dead right. You look at the number of winning favourites over the past 10 years. The likes of Corto Star, Voi Porusteres, Riverside Theatre, Q Card, Silvignaco Conti. They were all very, very short prices, as you say, and the contests were quite one-sided affairs, whereas this one looks very, very open, which is going to make it hugely interesting for punters. Top Notch is a horse who has been in excellent form of late, was a winner here at Ascot, two starts back in Grade 2 company, beating Double Shuffle quite emphatically, and of course Double Shuffle went on and ran a huge race in the King George on the back of that, so the form looks very strong for Top Notch. I'm really, really hoping, though, that Waiting Patiently can continue his progress. He's got to take it to another level. This is his first crack at Grade 1 company, John. But he's a horse who's hugely, hugely exciting. He's got conditions to suit. He needs plenty of juice in the ground. He's sure to get that at Ascot on Saturday. We're recording this podcast on the back of Cyrus Darius having won at Kelso about half an hour ago, providing Ruth Jefferson and her team with their first winner since Ruth's father, Malcolm, passed away. Malcolm will be laid to rest on Friday.
Oh, wow.
And, of course,
be very timely then.
Waiting Patiently runs 24 hours later, so a very emotional time for the Jefferson team. But putting emotion to one side for one second, Waiting Patiently is definitely good enough. He's a horse that plenty of racing fans want to see have a crack at Grade 1 company. The Ryanair Chase at the festival has been mooted for him. I think it's the only race for which he's entered.
He's taken out of the Champion Chase this week.
Yeah, and I don't think he got an entry for the Gold Cup. So, you know, this is a... I was going to say it's a stepping stone to the Ryanair, but it's not really. It's a Grade 1 in its own right, John. Yeah. It's a huge, huge race.
It's all about Cheltenham these days, John.
No, exactly. Exactly. You know, Grade 1, 85 grand to the winning horse. And I think Waiting Patiently is good enough to take this. I respect Coney Island, who looked good when reappearing last time out here at Ascot, beating Adrien Dupont by 9 lengths. He's sure to be a player for Edward Harty and his team. And, of course, you couldn't wholly rule out Q Card, who's won this race in the past. He hasn't looked at his best in two starts this season, but he's been off the track for 12 weeks. He comes here a fresh horse, and it would be great to see the old boy put in another big effort. But I'm hoping that Waiting Patiently just has too much in his armoury for Q Card and the likes.
Bit surprised to see Q Card as big as 9-1. I know there are younger, more progressive horses in contesting this race, but last time he won a race was actually this race last year.
Yes.
And his run since, I know he's fallen twice, but you wouldn't necessarily say he's had excuses, but he's finished second twice, both in Grade 1s, and last time it was to Bristol Demai, and we all know how potent that horse is around Haydock.
Yeah, absolutely. It would be folly to rule him out entirely. And, of course, we haven't even mentioned Frodon, who was so impressive in handicap company, shouldering nearly top weight around Cheltenham last round, absolutely blitzing his rivals by 17 lengths. And he's a 9-1 shot. Just probably underlining the strength of this race.
Yeah.
But going back to Q Card, 9-1 could look big in 48 hours' time.
Speaking of Frodon, really good to see connections keeping the faith with Bryony Frost. Whereas before, she was on the horse because that's where she came in the pecking order in terms of the jockeys. I think the owners have specifically requested to Paul Nicholls that she retain the ride for this race.
Yeah, and of course, she's ridden this horse the past twice. She was able to claim five. It was a useful £5 coming off the horse's back. She's not able to claim that five here. Now, some punters might view that as a negative, but let's not forget, of course, she's already a Grade 1 winning jockey, having won the Quarto Star Novices Chase at Kempton around Christmas time. So she's proven herself on the big stage. She'll be hugely excited. And Frodon is definitely a player. On official ratings, he's rated exactly the same as Waiting Patiently, a pound higher than Coney Island, and exactly the same as Top Notch. So he cannot be underestimated.
The Ascot Chase takes place on Saturday afternoon at 3:35. Latest prices online at williamhill.com. 20 minutes earlier in the northwest, we've got another massive race in the Grand National Trial at Haydock. And very exciting here, Sean, to see the Antipost favourite for the big race itself, Black Lion, taking his chance. We were talking about Paul Nicholls' jockeys. Well, it's number one. Sam Tristan Davis will be on Black Lion, who at time of recording is the 9-4 favourite for the race. 5-1 then, the Dutchman, Wild West Wind, who's also, I think, a lot of his 5-1 as well. 13-2, Dak Londyke, Three Faces West, 7-1 and 9-1 and bigger for the remaining four. Black Lion, the one they all have to beat here, though.
Definitely. Not as big a field as you can sometimes get for this race. We've got single figure runners, just the nine heading to post, but that is probably owing to how testing it's going to be. The ground is heavy, and there probably weren't too many trainers willing to run horses over such an extreme distance on such testing ground. But Black Lion has been there and done it, so to speak. He's a very, very strong stayer, and he's very much at home under these conditions, having won on heavy ground at Aintree last time out. So he's got plenty going for him, Black Lion. He's going to take another monumental effort to carry 11-12 around and beat some decent rivals, the likes of the Dutchman, Wild West Wind. He's got to concede over a stone to the likes of Wild West Wind, but he's the class act. He's a Sun Alliance Chase winner in the past, and he's probably a deserved favourite. I know you're a fan of Wild West Wind. I like the horse that's currently joint second fav with Wild West Wind, the Dutchman, who was a winner at Haydock last time out, beating Captain Redbeard in emphatic fashion by 13 lengths. We know he likes Haydock. He'd finished second to Sam Spinner in a valuable hurdle race at the track towards the end of November of last year. And I think he's an 8-year-old who's still improving, still has more to offer, and just getting £13 from Black Lion, I'd just side with the Dutchman over the favourite Black Lion.
Few people have mentioned stamina doubts for Black Lion, maybe not necessarily in this race, but certainly in the Grand National itself. He's definitely a stayer, there's no doubt about that, but you need to be an extra stayer to win a national. Do you think he's got the stamina required?
Well, he was fourth last year, wasn't he? And he just looked to tire late on. So he's going to get another chance to prove it. I don't know. That there are very few horses that you can conclusively say stay that far, but he'll stay this trip 3.5 miles, absolutely no problem. It was 3 miles two that he won around Aintree last time out over the large obstacles. So yeah, hopefully all goes well for him here. And if he doesn't win, he runs a big race, and it'll be all roads leading to Aintree for him on the back of that, I'm sure.
Do you expect him to go on and go very close on the national itself? Obviously, it's a bit difficult this far out to make sweeping judgments.
But yeah, the handicapper hasn't missed him, has he?
No.
He's got him high enough in the weights. He's certainly taking no chances with Black Lion, and rightly so. He's a class act on his day, this horse. But yeah, the national has become an even classier race, hasn't it, over the past 5 or 6 years? And that's thanks to horses like Black Lion taking part in the contest. I'm sure he'll be a player come April.
Fantastic. The Grand National Trial, the feature race on Haydock at Saturday. You can hear it all live on William Hill's Racing Radio. I'm looking forward to it. Going to Haydock, it'll be my first time.
Oh, so, very good.
Yeah, hopefully.
You've never been at all, no?
Never been to Haydock, no.
Nice track, good facilities. I don't know what the weather's meant to be like.
I think it's supposed to be cold, but no rain,
right.
So I'll take that. I'll take it.
Yeah.
I can wrap up warm, but
yeah,
I can't avoid the rain. Haydock and Ascot, your two main cards on Saturday afternoon. You can hear it all live on Racing Radio, of course, as with the rest of the week's action. I'll be back on the podcast tomorrow, so make sure you tune in. And Sean, thanks for joining us.
Cheers, Sean.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.